There's a broad topic, which is usually called nowadays Qumrah. Adopting stringencies that are not necessarily fully required by the letter of the law. And there are all sorts of reasons to praise the Persha Qumrah. I always love quoting the editor of the journal called Hapardes, the Rabbi Elbaum, wrote a wonderful piece, I think in the early 50s, about how the search for Qumrah is the essence of true Judaism. Because what you want is continually to try and maximize the search for the will of God in your life, and try and make sure that everything you do is as much, satisfies every possible interpretation of the will of God, and you're never really satisfied just with halacha and right? Because the version of Rabbi Lam's wonderful line that halacha is minimal Judaism. That's what you have to keep, right? You know, beyond any question, then you start thinking about halacha should really be. On the other hand, there are increasingly popular nowadays is getting sharing about the dangers of Qumrah. Two of which are one is that almost every Qumrah is maybe a day cool. Every Qumrah in one area leads to a cool in another area, because halacha is about balancing values, and so if you super-prioritize one value, then you end up under-prioritizing a different one. Usually, the way that happens is that when you prioritize a particular area in a Dhamma Makom, you end up de-emphasizing a Dhamma Chaviro when it comes into conflict. A second thing which is familiar to everyone in the school is Yura, that by adopting certain Chumras, then you look arrogant relative to other people, and then you are arrogant because you're not, there are many things that you should work on before you get to super Chumras. Those are all legitimate, and how you balance those is a complicated matter in its own right. What I want to talk about today is, really I didn't want to talk about it broadly, I want to read together one tshuva on the topic of one particular resistance to Qumrah, and see if we can come together to an agreement of what this tshuva says, and then we can possibly begin to broaden the conversation. Okay, so this is in the, what's called the Truma Hadesha, it's in the Israeli legal work. And here's the question. The Gemara says, in the first, there are other elements on the third comment of Gittin. That was the Gemara says in the first chapter of Gittin. And it begins by quoting a Gemara which addresses the following question, which is very important to help Gittin. In order for a get to be kosher, you have to, right, the problem with verifying the authenticity of the get is that no matter how well you write the document, if you don't write it lishma, you don't write it with the proper, right, with the proper intent, meaning that you have to, that the scribe has to write it deliberately for this husband and for this wife and with the intent of it being used as a divorce. You can't use the fill in the blank form, and you can't, or you can write a practice get, right, it has to be written specifically for them. So the problem is, how then do you verify that this is a kosher get? Because just looking at it doesn't do anything. Within a local court system, you can say, well, I know the court, and that's it, right, and so I trust them. Okay, but what happened? The problem became when Jews spread all over the world, so you had Gittin coming from Bate Din that were otherwise unknown, where there was no presumption of comedy, and how could you know that they were written in Shema? So the rabbis established the principle is that the agents who brought the get would state that this get was written before me, and it was signed before me. So you could verify that both the writing and the signatures were with Lishma. Okay, that raised the question of exactly how much of the get did he have to be there in order to be able to say that. In a lead paskin, he only has to be there for the first line. He has to hear the filter be instructed to write the get, and the witnesses be entitled to sign, and he has to watch them write the first line and watch the witnesses sign, and he can leave for the remaining, right, get it 12 lines long, and he can leave for the remaining 11 lines. But the question is, right, so the question is, that was not, right, there was a position that suggested that you have to be there for the entire writing of the get, So here's the line. The Gemara says, "V'chi teva avid b'chumra." So the person will feel him to it is who is rejecting his suggestion that he requires the agent for delivery, the agent that's been delivered to get in the foreign country, to be there for the entire to be there for the entire writing, because in Cain, right, if I were to adopt this practice and require agents to be present throughout the entire procedure, I said Mosilag Ogitim Harishonim, then you're casting Mosilag, the best way I can translate, casting aspersions. Right, you're going to be implying that previous divorces in which the agent did not, was not required to be there for the entire process, were actually invalid. Okay. So now it says, in Cain, if you're going to take that line to Gemara, which says that you can't adopt a new Chumrah because that adopting a new Chumrah will carry with it the implication that previous Gittin, which were written not in accordance with its Chumrah, were invalid, picture, and you have a difficulty, reality is that we adopt all sorts of tendencies in terms of getting that people didn't do before. How can that be? And furthermore, not only did the Achronim for him means the Gaonim, right? Not only did the Gaonim adopt Chumras that weren't there in the Talmud, the Chayyim that Yaman and Machmir and the Kalam Yilid begin, know that the Hen of the Penetra of Plato, even we, it says, right, we, the Earth Rishonim, adopt certain Chumras that our teachers didn't adopt. It begins with a contradiction. There's a line in the Talmud which seems to ban all new Chumras in terms of Gittin, and yet, he says, that contradicts rabbinic practice is that there always are new Chumras in Gittin. Okay, how do we balance it? Tshuva. Okay. You actually bring a little trick in Limadrav. It seems like that these matters require a great deal of investigation. When do you say this and when don't you? As you might think, right, you always have you might think that one case I just cited to you is an exception. Right, for some reason, something is unique about that case. You can't even see laws while you're showing. It is no. There's no way to deny that principle, Mimseh Tatamoti Laz, is a general rule, not a specific case. The Yalfina Mina, Mehai the Peri Kamadigitin, because we derive other cases from it. Because the Hadayik Mehatsa of Mordechai, and Mordechai derives from there, the Ein Luzayena Osiyot Shoshat Nizgat, begin. Okay, so there's a set of letters in a Sefer Torah that you throw the entire one on top of. Alright, the letters are the acronym Shoshat Nizgat. And the question is, when you write a get, which is also written in Ktav Ashuris, right, in the block print that we use for Sefer Torah, should you write those little types on top of them? Okay, so the Mordechai says, no, you're not allowed to write that. Mitam din ken atamoti laz, because of the rationale that if you start writing them in the get, then afterwards, you're right, then people look back at the old get and say, this is a puffle get, because it doesn't have the saga on it, just like a Sefer Torah puffle. It doesn't have it. So you can see that we actually derive things from this. So we actually have a general rule, and we have to figure out what's different. So here's this first attempt at a formulation. So the idea of Chalik, it seems proper. This is not his final formulation. Mm-hmm. Right? But it doesn't say be near the Chalik, it says the near the Chalik. Right? It would have seemed proper to make the following distinction alone. The whole hint of the milta the pshit to hulahatir. Anytime it's really obvious that you don't need the stringency, that it's permitted. Uva echad lahachmir, and somebody comes along and wishes to be stringent, the hero to say rasa, and wants to put on an additional layer of stringency, additional caution, that everyone understands is not legally necessary. Okay, so for example, let's say somebody comes along and says that even in a 100% polyester garment, it's always possible that a stray scrap of wool, a stray scrap of linen from the air, got woven into the fabric by the machine, and therefore you have to put every single article of clothing you own through chemical analysis to determine that it's not shabbos. Right? And people may get through that. Right? Because, you know, as we keep on increasing the range of things we have to check for shabbos, it may yet be the whole polyester garments with no lining is left to happen that way. But when it happens, everyone will understand that this is not anything you need to do. Right? We're just having fun. Or creating a full employment thing for shot in this jacket. So that kind of thing, he says. So everybody knows that it's obviously mutter. And somebody comes to create an additional caution, which is clearly not legally necessary. Ki hai gavna, amina lo tavid. In that kind of case, he says, no, don't do it. In kenas amos ilaz. In that case, we say, no, no, then just don't bother doing it because it's not worth creating the impression that people did wrong things before. But anytime there's a real legal possibility that in fact it is out there, anytime, it's really possible that there is a legal argument that this can't really be possible without this Torah. Then, in that case, he says, we should care, make sure that this can't have no problems, and let the old people take care of themselves. And we have to take care of business. When we write a get, we want to make sure that the one that we're writing to get for is divorced, and then we're going to get for a divorce. And other people weren't concerned for that. That's not our issue. Okay, if we do that, that leaves a very limited restraint on chumrah. Right? It means that there's no restriction on any chumrah which has any halakhic justification. It only bans adding new precautions that everyone understands that halakhic way. But I don't think the chumrah suggestion starts there. It stops there. Okay, now he says. This is what we say in later in Gittin. The Hitkin Rava begin. Rava established that we should write in Gittin the phrase Min Yom Adinan from today Ulalam and forever. Okay, the Gemara there. Explains why did Rava set up this? You have to actually write these words in the get Min Yom Adinan Ulalam. So Min Yom Adinan is Afuke Min Rav Yosi. Right, is to avoid the problem created. Is to reject the position of Rabbi Yossi. The Amar is Mano Shoshtar Mochiachala. Rabbi Yossi held that the date of the contract is presumed to be the effective date of the contract. Right? Am I right? We signed this contract on the 20th day of Kislev. Right. This divorce is written on the 20th day of Kislev, and we presume this divorce is effective on the 20th day of Kislev. And if the woman shows up later, having remarried, we won't say, oh, well, you know what, just because the get was written on the 20th Kislev doesn't mean that she was intended to be divorced before Nisan. No. Right? So the other thing though,
if you want to have a divorce,
you could write that in. But the other thing held that the standard position is that a contract, including a get, is effective on the date of the contract. You don't have to write in the contract from today. Okay, so the Gemara says that when Rava began, or Rava third generation Amora, began requiring them to write from today in the get, he was thereby rejecting the position of Rabbi Yossi. And he was saying, no, you can't presume that a contract goes into effect on the date of the contract. Okay, now Rashi goes on. Pirush Rashi Hatzor. Rashi explains there, Af al gav, even though, the kind of one here, Rabbi Yossi, even though in fact we passed like Rabbi Yossi, we call Makom nonetheless. He came kach kedei shei beheter gomor. Rava established this language in the get so that there would be absolute permission. Yossi shun laz al bas Yisrael, and so that he would impose no aspersions on contemporary women that their abortions were invalid. The chiyah gav the namli teresh ad tikkunei olam. The same as he wrote forever, because Rav asked Rav Nachman, are we concerned that in the get, what about if somebody comes along and says, in a get, or if it's while giving a get, you are my wife, you are not my wife today, but you will be my wife tomorrow. And are we concerned that somebody giving a divorce doesn't intend it to be permanent? Right, so again, we reject that, but Rav wanted to make his get as kosher as possible. Right? Meaning, Alma, so we see, Afilo Amorayim, even the rabbis of the Talmud, even Rava, Hechmiru Shalom the Torah, they impose stringencies that were unnecessary. We don't talk him like Rava, we do talk him like Rabbi Yossi, right? Why? The Lokashul Allah is Gitin HaRishonim, and they had no concern for invalidating all Gitin, the Masha Mikadam, Nikodam Rava, while you quote in the Yemen Ramli Allah, because the implication clearly is they didn't write this in the get beforehand. So Rava instituted this language in the get, even though that would run the risk of having people suspect that the old gittin were invalid because they did follow Rabbi Yossi. The Hainan Mishum Duhu Chayat Allah Shalafanas, And that's because he was worried about aspersions being cast on the Gittin directly, the Gittin in his day, in front of him, Rishundra Rabbanim, Sigur is Rabbi Yossi, because the rest of the rabbis did argue with Rabbi Yossi. So Chash Rabba, if the Rabba was concerned, can you see laws, let people cast aspersions, the language of Hilchos HaKeravim. They would say, the Rabba was afraid that people would suggest that the Halacha didn't follow Rabbi Yossi. So even though the Halacha did follow Rabbi Yossi, he instituted a new Chumrah, so you have to write the get according to the position of the Rabbi who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi also, let people claim that the Halacha follows the Rabbi against Rabbi Yossi because they're the majority. Okay. V'chein, and similarly also, Had Isa be'etotot with Mordechai Perakol get, the Tikin Rabbi Natan listos to get Harayat with Terah L'chol Adam. So Rabbi Natan put in the Halacha that in the get, right, these are, of course, still things we still do. You have to write in the get the words Harei at Mutaret L'chol Adam. Behold, you are familiar to any man. Which, it's always problematic words because obviously a woman who is divorced is not Mutaret L'chol. So what any man means is, it's highly problematic, and how we translate this in English in our beds is a matter of constant controversy. But nonetheless, that's the language where the Tom put in. Now, even though the Tosis is sort of the standard form, right? Even though the standard form of the get of Rabbi Natan's predecessors didn't use this language, Rabbi Natan was not concerned about aspersions on earlier gittins, and he imposed this stringency unnecessarily. Why was it unnecessary? Because there was other language in the get that meant the same thing as Reyat Mitzaret L'Chol Adam. So he didn't have to put it in. He called Makom, nonetheless. Since it implies in several places in the Talmud that you have to write these specific words, Reyat Mitzaret L'Chol Adam, even though you could certainly argue and be talking that, and everyone talking before the Talmud, that it, you didn't write these specific words, all you really have to do is convey that intent. Nonetheless, Chash Rabbi Natan ten yotzi'u laz, im lo yichtivu v'chi, Rabbi Natan was concerned about aspersions if you don't write it, so ashkak alaz kitin harishonim, and he was not concerned for aspersions on earlier gittin. Okay, so now we have two sets of cases. Three sets of cases. We have the reality that there is an ongoing process of any chumrah beginning. If the Shulchan Aruch is not seeking to roll back. Okay, we have a case in the Gemara in which the Gemara bans requiring the agent to stand over the agent to stand over the guest line by line, and the deduction from that is you can't write the letters on the. You can't adorn the letters on the get because we're afraid you'll cast aspersions on earlier given. And then, secondly, you have a set of cases where Rabban and Rabbi Natan do impose new chumras on get. Now, in order to understand the logic, I think you have to say this right. So he began by saying that the way to distinguish the new chumras that are being put in from the chumras that the Gemara objects to, is that the chumras the Gemara objected to were things that were conceivably halakhically necessary. Right? It might be that halakha is that a get requires adornment. Right? It might, They said originally was that, the cases of the Gemara were cases where nobody could conceivably think that you really needed them originally. So when somebody comes in and asks, right, and says, have everybody stand up, stand by every line, that wasn't, right, everyone knew that it was obvious you didn't have to. And similarly, writing the tags on the letters is obvious you didn't have to. In those cases, we tell you don't, the most you love. But in a case such as our contemporary chumras, where there really is a suffix, in that case, we say, go ahead and in instances of the chumras, because you have to be worried, really, about the kashrus of your contemporary gittin, and not worry. And when you have a real concern about the kashrus of contemporary gittin, you don't have to worry about the implications that has for the past. Okay, but then he quotes a set of cases. And in that set of cases, what he says is these are cases which fall halfway between those two set of cases. There are a set of cases in which everyone understands that there's a chumrah which has no halakhic basis. You have a set of cases in which obviously there is a halakhic basis. And then you have a set of cases in which everyone knows what the halakha is, but the halakha as it is, is a choice among existing earlier positions. Okay, you hear the three categories? One case is there's no halakha. One place is there's no halakhic position at all that ever justifies it because neither does. Okay, and originally he said that's when you can't do it. Then there's a second category when there still is a live halakhic debate. And in that case, of course, you can do it. And then there's a community set of cases where there was a live halakhic debate, but that live halakhic debate is over. Okay, so the question is, do we call that intermediate category a case where it's obvious lahatir? And if it's obvious lahatir, we should tell you by his distinction, don't do it. Or do we call it a case where there really are rationale for altering, in which case we should tell you, go ahead and institute this chumrah. And I think Truma Sadeshin believes that if the halakhic issue has long since been settled, then that falls into the category of things that it's obvious that they're mutter, and therefore, according to his initial argument, you should not be allowed to institute those chumrah. Okay, and the Truma Sadeshin thinks that really there are only two categories. There's existing live halakhic dispute and no existing live halakhic dispute. And according to the original analysis, when there's no live halakhic dispute, you should not be allowed to put in new chumrah. You can't be masmir like a position that lost. Okay? Like that? Now the problem is that doesn't generate contradiction. Because in fact, Rebbeinu Tam required you to write this language, and Rava required you to put the position on the alone, even though Rava Rebbeinu Tam believed that those halakhic disputes were over. You saw? Yeah. So, therefore, the Truma Sadeshin now says, my original claim that the only distinction we need to make is between live halakhic disputes and non-halakhic disputes. Live disputes, go ahead and put in the new chumrah. Not live halakhic disputes, don't put in the chumrah. That's just wrong. That can't be true. And as a result, he comes up with a second set of distinctions. He says, in Cain, Trishi and Makali, right? But we have to make a new distinction. The Hayy Gittin Lo'el, that the case of Gittin, which we started the whole conversation off, the Hayy Lamad Al-Kol Oz Ba'Oz, that you're not right, that we say you're not allowed to require the agent to stand over every letter. You shouldn't allow Gittin Rishonim because of the fear that you're casting aspersion on the earlier Gittin. The same Had is even Oseh, the Shat Nizgat, the Kinan Yinei, and similarly the case of adorning the letters of Shat, is not allowing us to draw the Tagim on the letters Shat Nizgat to get, which we derive from the case in the Gemara of the agent standing by every letter. Here's the distinction. Even though in those cases, right, he says, you know what? Maybe in those cases also we have to admit that in fact there are rationales for this for chumrah. Okay? So the whole distinction has, in fact, we ought to write, in fact, or each threat, in fact, is abandoned, I think, as I'm arguing now. He's abandoned the whole distinction between obviously unnecessary chumrahs and possibly necessary chumrahs. No, all the cases, there's always a rationale. What's the key distinction? The key distinction is, and with the custom, but in those cases in Gittin, Iyasina Lahasmir, the Lomor, the Torah Islamic Al-Kawosos, if you were to institute this new chumrah, right, if you were to believe this new chumrah, and suggest that the agent in fact has to be there for every letter. In Cain, Hagitin Beharishonim Shulamdel Kulosos, Hayatsuah Mugamre, then all of those earlier Gittin would be completely invalid. It would be obvious that the earlier Gittin were completely invalid. The Nishtamanehen Mateva Kasam Mugamre, and the whole formula of the rabbis gave for allowing Gittin to be delivered, would be completely off. They would not match the formula because the rabbi said, you have to say right, the Falinetta, right, the Allegora say, the Lomar saw the Falinetta, be worse than the Asian not even saying the get was written in front of me. Sharehei Shekir, because now, if it's true that when the rabbis instituted the rule that, that the agent has to say this get was written before me, they meant the entire get was written before me, he's lying. Because these previous agents got up and said, Sharehei Shekir Shekir Shekir, because if the original sakana was that the agent had, when the agent said the get was written before me, he meant the entire get, so in all those gets in the last 200 years, when the agent got up, or now it's 2,000 years, the agent got up and said it was written before me when it wasn't, they were all lies. Right? The Haidus Kolan, right? Because if a man had a Kolan get, if he had meant it had to be the entire get, Kilosh on a Sogar Lahasmir, which, according to this Kumra that we weren't in, right, in getting long to put in, right, would be necessary. Shekach says what happened, because that's what the rabbis wanted. Ruah Raksha, Ruah Rakshita Asaf, and he only saw one line. Right, so the reason you can't be mostly is if the new chumah you put in carries with it the obvious implication that all the other gittin were completely possible, then you can't do it. The chenot yot nishat nizgat, and similarly the red letters, in nachmir lezainam, if we are nachmir now and we require you to adorn them, in kain, if that's so, sovereign lana, then we hold the lo mikro of the oblivion, that that's what the letter is, right? It's not a shin, unless it has a little dog on top of it. Then kain, kol gitna rishonim shlovin olotam, then all the other gitna shin adorn, tulum legamri hayu, they were completely possible, kilo yak tav pal, because they weren't any kind of asset that we recognized. If he divorced her with a get that is utterly erroneous and confused, messed up. Okay, so now we have this category of cases where you don't say, you don't say it, where if you put in this new chumra, that will automatically result in the claim the other gittin are possible. So why is it that we put a new chumras? Why are new chumras different? It says, Aval. However, he says, Halu dininyom adinam l'chein ha-reyat muteret. But the cases where Rabba put in the language that you have to write in ha-dinyom adinam l'yolam, and Rabbi Natan put in the language reyat muteret, afilu l'mash shesorim l'hasmer, even if we accept the position that you should put these in, ha-gidm shol yikosim kach lo ha-yutsul in b'tshitus. It's not obvious that Gittin without them are possible. El Shahayu Lidzaktik was then. But people who wanted to could say, since it doesn't say, those Gittin, they probably aren't kosher. But it's not obvious. Because there could be many ways to write a get. Just because you put this language in, it doesn't mean that a get without it is possible. Okay, if you claim the agent has to be there the entire time, if you claim the letter has to have osios, then that means that without them the get is possible. But just because you think that it's better to write this language than a get, doesn't mean there weren't other ways of getting the get to be better. That's his argument. Okay? So, right, any case where the implication is not obvious, then in such cases, we are not koshish for a version of previous kidney, he eats as far as Tom Lahasmir, so long as we have some rationale for being left there. Then he goes back to his original claim, even though it was no longer necessary. He says, Aval me'ad as the hero of Kumas is Teresh Lahav Rishonim, Afilu b'chihai gavna lo avinam. Okay, it says, but putting in Kumas that has no halach necessity at all, even if those Kumas will not necessarily result in the claim that the previous kidney were possible, we don't do those at all. Okay? So I think what he ends up with is a three-part distinction. In the realm of Gittin, chumras that have no unlocking spaces at all, that are just designed to make you feel more comfortable, that, right, you never put a new chumras like that. It's just not worth the risk. Because even the chance that somebody might conceivably suggest that Gittin without it are possible, right, that's too much to take. If there is a reasonable halakhic rationale for being machmir, just that reasonable halakhic rationale lost a long time ago, then if the implication of putting a new chumrah is that the other, the previous Gittin were definitely Tuchel, you can't adopt the new Zohar. If, on the other hand, there's no reason to say automatically because you put in this new Zohar, the other Gittin were Tuchel. It's just that people might argue anyway, then you can put in a new Zohar. Okay. And he says, well, when Rashi explains Rava's case in the Yom Dinam, and how did Teresh Rashi on the Yom Dinam, the Afuki of Rabbi Yossi, that comes to exclude Rabbi Yossi, the Apple God, the Hilta Sikr Rabbi Yossi, even though the local call is Rabbi Yossi, the Kol Malkum Tikin Rava, Rava nonetheless established this writing within the get, the Nejiye the Heter Gomor, so that the get would be utterly permitted, you know, utterly from the woman who was divorced by the get would be utterly permitted, the Shemoyoki Shum Lava on the Suez Ben Israel, so nobody would cast dispersion on the contemporary remarriages of Jewish women. So now, in that case, it says, Nero Tari is Nami. So on the basis of that, Rashi, we can explain, how did he get out to the Truach Harbik Amnoy de Gimaruba, Bahaskin Eden Begin? Okay, so here's the question back to yourself. The dominant controversy as set up by the Stama de Gemara in Maseches Gittin is when we create a get, an all contract, is we write the contract, we have witnesses sign the contract, and then we deliver the contract in the presence of witnesses. Okay, the witnesses who sign are called the Eidei Chatima, and the witnesses who deliver are called Eidei Nezira. And at least the Stama de Gemara believes that there is a machloket, a fundamental tenet machloket, as to which of those witnesses, being both the one or the other, in order to make a contract valid. If a contract, right, if I can produce, if somebody hands me a contract which is signed, even though there were no witnesses at the time, and I produce that contract, is that enough? Whether or not there were witnesses to deliver it? If witnesses watch me hand over an IOU even though nobody signed it, is that enough? But it's both very lefty issues. So we talk him, he says, we talk him hating the spirit currently. But after God, the Pasuk becomes very clear. Nero says, so on the basis of Rashi's explanation that day, Nero carries Nami, Hubbin, Higi, Atu, the Troah, Harbek, Amin, Ayyay, Timon, Uba, the last thing in the beginning. We can explain also that which the contemporary practice is, to make many efforts, the Troah, Harbek, Amin, Ayyay, Timon, Uba, to a great, and go to a great extent, Lahaskin Eden Begitin, to get witnesses to sign the get. Apogal, even though the Pasuk Talmud of the Kamad Gusta, the Talmud rules in many places in Gittin, the Halacha Kerem is the answer, Damar Eden Asira Karti. And the Halacha Saul Kerem is the answer, who says that really all you need to make a get kosher are witnesses to the transfer. The Eina Eden is closer to all the get, it looks like Tikkun Olam. And the only reason we bother having witnesses sign the get is because of Tikkun Olam, because sometimes you can't remember who the witnesses were who transferred the get, or the witnesses die, and so it's much better to have witnesses signed on the get, because that way you can always produce them again for the signatures of it. As opposed to witnesses who are left only, only were there, like you have to actually find them again. So for practical reasons, the Gemara says we require signatories, but in practice we talk to like Rabbi or other that even if there were no witnesses signed, that's enough. So why do we bother going to the extreme of requiring all the evidence to sign them again? Why do we go to such effort? But even that, now, especially nowadays, like the Tikkun Olam Beidei Chatima, and nowadays the whole rationale for requiring witnesses to sign on the get is not. Doesn't matter why. Shari kolam manhigim korim agid miyada furnishen tam the goes in a tamleot leatzman, because everybody, all people who set up gittin, right? The immediate effect of every basic already back then was that as soon as the divorce is final, the basic takes the get back and tears it, and then hides it. Right? Nobody ever sees the get again. That's to prevent anybody ever looking at the get and saying, "Oh, there's something wrong here." So because of that, no woman ever has to produce the witness as a document to show that she was divorced. We never let her have it. Right, because of that, right, in the Amena Loshamanos, we've never heard of the case, Shabbat the Isha Levetin, the get the ugly must be built. The woman comes to Bacon with the get in her hand and wants to be married with it, and then we have to go search for the Eidei Nezira. It never happened. Women never have the get. all she has is the star for the Bezdin. The Bezdin can make the star on the basis of the witnesses who transfer it. Right? Well, the godless goes to Bezdin. No woman's ever come with a get in her hand and ask to collect her supa. If in Cain, sort of Eichasim, a lot will be done. Right? So why would we bother going to such efforts to find the witnesses to sign? El Mishum, so it must be rather, Mishum, the Kama Stama Mishnayas to Breitos, the Kasarvik of there. There are a number of Mishnas and Breitos that seem, right, anonymous Mishnas and Breitos that seem to hold like Rameir that we would actually require Eichasim. Alright, the Summer Eichasim of Karti. The Gansloya Eidus Kasunim will have Ekimo Kasu Dalma. Right? And then again, without Eichasim is, right, it's just a blank piece of paper, just a scrap. Therefore, we remove ourselves from all disputes. Kadesh and Ape get the head of Gomor, so that the get will create absolute commissions for the Hoki Lash Paul, obviously, the control. So that we won't create any kind of challenge to the contemporary narratives of Jewish women. So, on first glance, this would seem to undermine everything he said previously. So what we said previously was, that if there is a risk that by instituting this new chumrah, if you have a dead machlokes, and the machlokes of Eidechasim, whether you require the witnesses to sign, because otherwise the contract is invalid or not, that's a dead argument. We hold that actually you don't need the witnesses. So here he is, here we are, imposing a chumrah that we require the Eidechasim, in accordance with a dead machlokes. Even though the clear implication of this is that if there were a get that didn't have Eidechah Sima, it would be possible. So this underlines everything he said. So that would be a mistake. Because we have to understand about his last case, what he's trying to accomplish in his last case. But he says he wants to know why we bother. And the answer to why we bother is that Rashi explains that whenever there is no cost to the past, then we always try to make this get proof against any crazy thing that could happen, even a change in the halacha where somebody would suddenly pass like they may or yet. But the difference about the Eidechasim and the Sirikar issue is that there has not been a get for thousands of years which the witnesses didn't sign. There's no laws that are shown in there because the Gemara Mishnah already says you have to have the witness to sign if they take an olam. Well, it's actually the bottom line is the term of the mission is perfectly consistent that when there's no halachic basis, even in a dead halachic argument, then you can't put in the chumrah. When there is a halachic basis from a dead halachic argument, then you do put in the chumrah, but only if that doesn't lead to the clear implication that the fact is in the puzzle. When there's a live halachic dispute, then you do whatever you can for the present. Okay, so here's just very briefly, my reading is as follows. Most people, right, the reason that we care so much about not postulating past Gittin, not casting a version of past Gittin, is that there are people alive today who will be mamzerim. It's a past Gittin or puzzle. Okay? So we don't allow you to put in new chumras that carry the possibility that people today who we assume are Kafir Jews are not actually Kafir Jews because of something that happened in the past. Now, that seems to me applies at least the same way, and possibly called a Homer, to claim not that people are Mamzerim, to claim that people aren't Jewish. And therefore, to put in new Homers in Geirus that carry the implication that past conversions were invalid, right, which has the implication of saying that people who have always thought themselves Jewish and legitimately, you know, who were halachically, right, who were converted in accordance, or whose mothers were converted in accordance with normally halachic practice, right, you should not be allowed to put in any new chumras, in order to account for positions that lost the argument a long time ago. Because it makes you feel good if that carries implications about the past. Regrettably, this is not the contemporary practice, and increasingly a broad range of areas, people are requiring what's called Geirus L'chumrah. They're saying, well, we know that, of course, we're talking that this kind of get is valid, but because there is a position in which somebody else might conceivably resurrect, so we're going to require you to go and mix it again. Now, then the first issue that was a psychological what the psychological cost is for people of having to go make their family life up they were Jewish. That's A. B, in the case of women, you have the possible implications that they're a certain lacuna. Right. So even if, right, even if you want to trivialize the pastoral issue of people having their Jewish identity ripped away from them, right? So in the case of women, you still have the issue of the initial lacuna. But to me, that doesn't even come up. The point is, you're not allowed to put in chumras, which you recognize are not necessary to halacha. And the implication is that there are other people who other people who are going to be thereby declared. Right, because people won't understand you're only putting in this lukumra. Right, so that has implications for other people. It's easy case. What happens if you tell a man you really need to go to your lukumra, and he knows that his sister won't? So it's all very well and good to tell him it's not a big deal for you, but obviously by his going to he's making the claim that his sister has done something that's Jewish, and all of his kids have done things that aren't Jewish. Practice is more and more nowadays requiring people to go to mikveh again, even though one acknowledges that if you have the paskin, right, their previous conversions would be in fact perfectly valid. Cases where you say, you know what, unquestionably you're Jewish, but I'm not willing to write that you're Jewish because I want to be master for this subdivision. My argument is that if this primus addition is dispositive, and so far as I can tell, all subsequent discussions revolve around what the Trumas HaDeshin means and not whether the Trumas HaDeshin is of the halakha. But this practice is, in large measure, halakhically indefensible. And hopefully that will become broadcast.